All right, let us read our second very short scripture reading. It comes from Matthew chapter 11, just two verses, verses 28 to 30. And I invite you just to hear these words from Jesus. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word. Sometimes it seems like for me the only thing that gets me to slow down is when I get sick. Amen. I heard an amen. It happened this week, you know, the tingle in your throat and the sneezing that began for me Tuesday night, and I knew that that night it was more than my allergies. I was starting to feel pretty sick, and the next morning I felt really run down, and I finally heeded the call of God that I believe came through my spouse, just saying, "Baby, just rest today." And so I did, but it took me a while. I wondered, could I still do this thing or that? Could I still get this work done? And finally, I resisted, and I took it slow all day. I slept for a while. I ate a slow breakfast. I spent the whole day at home. I sat out on the balcony, and I dozed off in the sun for a little while. I listened to the cars drive by. I watched squirrels pick at our trash outside, even though there were thousands of acorns everywhere. I thought about all of you sitting in here today, and I prayed for you. And I think if I hadn't taken that day to rest, I would probably be worse off this morning. I was thinking, it made me think about how essential rest is to our lives. We need rest more than we need anything, or many things. We don't eat for 8 hours straight, but we do sleep that long. Have you ever wondered or thought about how you sleep for nearly half your life? It's a lot of sleeping, a lot of resting. And I think that that teaches us something about God's good intention for rest and for creating us with such a great need in this area. When I worked in Atlanta at a church called Mercy Church, we worked with a congregation of folks who were mostly homeless or on the verge of homelessness. And people were exhausted all the time at our church. And it wouldn't be unusual in our Bible studies on Sunday mornings that people would be sleeping. And sometimes the study would be accompanied by snores from the sidelines in the back of the room. And the streets, we knew, did not provide a lot of rest for people. And so sometimes before we began our service, we would say at the beginning of the service, "This is God's house. This is a sanctuary. If you need to sleep, you are welcome to do that here." And so we began to know, to understand and to value that God's house, the place of sanctuary, is also a place of rest. And if that's what people needed, we gave them that opportunity. I began to imagine snoring as a form of worship, realizing that ministry in this location, it was important to provide that for people. Rest is essential, and I would even go further to say that rest is an urgent matter for us. We are a country of workaholics, busy, busy people, stressed out and stretched out. And I wonder sometimes if we as Christians and Jews have forgotten that we have a commandment from God about rest. It's a commandment, which means it's not optional. It's not something we can opt out of. It's actually a command to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. God says that God rested when they completed the creation of the world. And so just like I rested, God says, "I want you to rest." And not just you, but everyone who works for you and everything that's that you're dependent on and that depends on you. So your donkeys and your cows and your land, everything needs to rest. You need to cease your work so that others can cease their work too. Or God says your alternative is to be like Egypt. Egypt's operation as an empire was dependent on the tyranny of work, of endless work. But God says, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt, out of empire, and I want you to be a different kind of people. You are to be the kind of people who are malformed to empire and formed to my way and my way of justice and liberation. And my way, God says, includes rest. And this is a commandment. So many years later, we hear Jesus, the rabbi who's a Jew and a good student of Torah and a follower of this liberation God. He speaks to people who are burdened under the tyranny of empire and says to them, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, when we hear the word yoke in the Bible, it doesn't refer to that yellow part of an egg, which I thought initially when I was a kid, so I was glad to have that clarified. But yoke is in reference to that cross piece that are put on animals to carry a wagon or a plow, and so it's this heavy burden tool, and people understood, and in Scripture when we hear yoke, they talked about the yoke always in reference to the burden of an empire, so the burden of being an oppressed people living under a yoke of empire, whether it was Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Rome, or the United States. Yoke signified living under this oppressive rule. And so Jesus takes this image and says to those who are most burdened by empire, says, you will find rest with me and in me and in the beloved community. The yoke of God's kingdom is easier to bear. It's kinder, it's gentler, it's nonviolent, it's humble, and you will find rest there. Jesus knew how important rest was for people, and also Jesus knew how empire strips people of rest. So what does all of this have to do with our fourth deadly sin this morning, which is the sin of sloth? What are we trying to get at with all of this stuff about rest? Well, I realized this week that I found that it's really important that we don't confuse sloth with rest. We don't confuse sloth with slowness or laziness even in general. But the early Christians, when they talked about sloth, they talked about sloth always in reference to being lazy about love. Lazy about love. So here, for example, is Frederick Buechner's definition of sloth. He says, sloth is not to be confused with laziness. A slothful person may be a very busy person. A person who goes through the motions and who flies on automatic pilot. They know something is wrong with them, but not wrong enough to do anything about. So Buechner says that a slothful person in his or her busyness knows something is wrong, but not wrong enough to do anything about. So sloth is about being lazy in the area of love. This means that, as Buechner suggests, you can be busy all the time, overworked and stressed out, which is very normal in our culture, and still be slothful. In fact, the early Christians saw busyness and workaholism as symptoms of sloth. So at first I thought to myself, oh good, sloth, this is finally a sin that I don't struggle with. I'm a pretty diligent person about my work. In fact, I work a lot. Nobody could accuse me of being slothful. But then my self-righteous bubble quickly burst when I began to realize that the supposed virtue of working hard and working a lot and all the time could actually be a symptom of a deeper spiritual malady. Ah, this is another sin that I struggle with. So workaholism and busyness, though they're considered virtuous in our culture, the early Christians would just be shaking their heads and saying, y'all are messed up. You are actually full of the sin of sloth. Sloth, they would say, is not about being lazy in your job. It's about being lazy in love. So the cartoon on our screen this morning, I wanted to give you just a moment to look at that. So I've been really into this series, this cartoon series that seems to really hit the nail on the head. So in this cartoon, I guarantee that the people in this church were very, very busy people, you know, doing the work of the church, working hard. But as the cartoon suggests, they kept putting off an essential part of the mission of the church, to love the poor. They were slothful because they knew the work of love was important, but they just didn't do it. Probably because it was difficult, as love often is. I recently came upon the quote from Stephen Colbert that he said in 2010, this kind of famous quote. He said that if this is going to be a Christian nation that doesn't help the poor, either we have to pretend that Jesus was just as selfish as we are, or we've got to acknowledge that he commanded us to love the poor and serve the needy without condition, and then admit that we just don't want to do it. Something is wrong, and we just don't want to do anything about it. That's sloth, being lazy about love. And of course, we know this can take many different forms in our lives. We can be lazy about loving ourselves, and I think that may be close to what Dick was getting at in his confession this morning about his failure to accept genuine affirmation. This can be a form of sloth. We can also be lazy about loving our spouse or our children because you see them every day. It's easy, right, to get slothful in our love with people we know well or are committed to over for the long haul. I've made it a goal in this series to talk about racism in relation to every one of the deadly sins, because I'm convinced that racism is so entrenched in all of these sins, and that's, I think, what part of what makes it deadly. But in our last, I wanted to share this from our last Tab EDU session. We had a conversation about vainglory and racism. And one person talked about how part of what makes race such a hard thing for white people to engage in is that we have to be willing to be corrected, to stand corrected, to be confronted about our racist assumptions. And you cannot have honest or transformational conversations about racism and also be guarded and defensive. You have to risk and practice vulnerability, and that's really hard. It's difficult, and who really enjoys that? Who likes to stand corrected, right? Not many of us like to do that. And so it's easy, I think, to see how sloth can play a part in terms of us being guarded, and we get kind of lazy about the process of love and transformation in those kinds of conversations. Sloth can play a role in our wanting to disengage from conversations on racism. So we can get lazy about the work of love, even though it is the most important work that we ever do in our lives. We do avoid the hard work of love often because it's costly and it's hard and it takes time. So the two big discoveries for me this week about sloth were, first of all, that workaholism and busyness are symptoms of sloth, and that we can be avoiding the hard, loving stuff by staying busy. And I think we need to attend to that. We need to look at this. And the second discovery for me was how rest is actually an essential discipline in preventing sloth. So, meaning that our ability to love depends on our rest, on our ability to rest. Slowing down and resting is actually what helps us to discover the things that are truly important. Rest helps to nourish us so that we can engage in the hard work of love. So I think we really do need to take the Sabbath as a commandment, not just a polite suggestion from God. And might I add, not just a commandment to heed only when you're sick, amen? If we do not rest, we cannot be good lovers. You are not allowing others to rest when you are a workaholic. You are robbing others of their rest. We are connected and we need to help release one another to enter the rest that is God's gift to all of us. So we must not confuse rest with sloth, because rest is what we need to prevent sloth. So returning back to those words of Jesus, who says and invites us into rest, saying, "Come to me, you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites us to find our rest in him and in his way. The way of Jesus is a kinder way. It is a humbler way. It is a way that resists the tyranny of empire, because empire is not concerned for us. It is only concerned that you produce and consume and stay busy and distracted. Empire has never, nor will it ever be concerned about Sabbath or rest for anyone. So we are invited again today to choose the way of Jesus, to find our true rest in him and in his way. So let us today look toward the one who gives us true rest for our souls, rest that will also sustain us in persevering in the work of love. Amen. Amen.